These are two powerful stories of God's power at work in the lives of people. The first story that we hear and we heard read to us today is about a woman who heard that Jesus came to her area. She's not a Jew. She's a Gentile, right? She's a Gentile woman. And this is an important thing to keep in mind when we're reading about this instance in the Bible. There are many different people that are introduced to us throughout the Bible to show us the effect of God's word and his power on all people. Amen. We heard that message very loudly and clearly last week in the sermon that Jesus Christ died for all people. And so this woman that is being introduced by Mark to us today in this story is being introduced as who she is. She is a Gentile woman, right? And she comes to Jesus because she heard about him and the things that he was doing in his life, right? And the things that he was doing for the people all around him. And she goes to him immediately, it says, when he came into the area. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet, right? You can imagine this woman coming to him and running to him and falling down at his feet and begging him to help her to heal her daughter who had an unclean spirit. Some versions of the Bible say a demon. This girl was demon possessed. I don't know if you have ever had the experience of seeing someone who was not in their right mind, that had this unclean spirit, that there was something about them. I have in my life, many times experienced and seen this, and it's terrifying. It's isolating. The people feel, and there's a big movement going on in our society today to overcome the stigma of mental illness. If you alert to that, and I mention it today, you can check out that in Bergen County, there is a very, very big emphasis from people who want the mentally ill to be known, to be appreciated, to have the stigma of mental illness overcome so that these people don't have to live in isolation as though they didn't count, as though they weren't important in life. It's embarrassing for the families when a person is out of their mind and screaming because of the fears that they have going on in their minds because of this unclean spirit that is inside of them. And thank God we have medicine today that helps those situations to a certain extent. But God is the greater power. And God is the greater power that is needed in people's lives. So this woman had a girl, a little girl who was at home, and she was overcome like this. And you can imagine she was screaming out. She was screaming in fear of things that her mother couldn't see, that were attacking her, all these kind of things, upsetting her mother. What am I going to do? There weren't any medicines at the time. And so many times people who had these unclean spirits even had to be tied down. Imagine if that was your child. And this woman comes, and no wonder she comes to Jesus, this one who is taking out demons from people and setting them free. And she says, please, this is my daughter. I've heard about you. Heal my daughter. And it's a very strange kind of a section of scripture here, because after she begged him, he says to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. And Jesus is talking about the emphasis in his ministry for the Jewish people, right? And the Jewish people were to be brought to the belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God in order to bring other people like these Gentiles to the truth. God had emphasized these things, but it may sound very harsh here, but Jesus in his goodness is actually giving the woman a test for her faith. Right? And so he is not just brushing her off and saying, okay, you're not belonging to the children of the Jewish kingdom. You're not a member of the people of Israel. You don't belong to them. And so, you know, you're like a dog and we're not going to give you anything. What he was doing in this kind of a language was testing her faith, and she rises to the occasion. She rises to the occasion and she says, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And what does Jesus say? For this statement, you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter. And listen to what happened. She went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Now imagine that for just a moment, that your daughter was suffering and you had no hope and you had zero expectations of life for anything good that could happen. Your life was going to be consumed with being with your daughter and taking care of her, keeping her out of society's eyes, keeping her quiet as possible so that no one would be disturbed by her illness. And now she's healed. Wow. She's healed. Do we believe that Jesus can do it today? She went home and found the child lying in bed, the demon gone. Jesus was calling her to faith. He was testing her faith. And she showed it. And he healed her child. The demon was gone. He goes on to a region of from Tyre and goes through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man, these people who knew a man who was deaf and had lost his speech and had a speech impediment. And they beg him to lay his hand on him. Again, here is a man, cannot hear. Can you ever imagine what it must be like not to be able to hear? The next time that we ever feel sorry for ourselves, think about it. That there are people in society that have children, that have loved ones, who have demons inside of them that are driving them to great sickness so that they cannot control themselves and their fears, and they don't know what to do for them. And there are people in society who cannot hear. They cannot hear, and this man could not speak without an impediment. Man, we are so blessed. They beg him. They go to him. The same kind of a sense. Please help our friend. Help this person. Help this family member. Lay a hand on him. And what does Jesus do? He takes the man privately aside, puts his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touches his tongue. And the spittle was known at that time as having a healing effect. So that's what he did, and he touched his tongue. He looks into heaven, sighs, and said to him, be opened. He commands this deafness, this impediment, to be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue released, and he spoke plainly. Imagine that. Jesus tells them, don't tell anyone, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. I would too. Did you see that? Did you hear about this guy who was deaf and he was unable to speak? He had this speech impediment all of his life. I've heard this guy. I know that guy. I knew it was real. And now he can hear. And now he can speak clearly. I mean, there's so much in life, guys, that we take for granted, don't we? That you can hear me right now, that you can speak and say amen. And there are people that can't. There are blind people that cannot see. There's a person in town who walks around with a cane. He's an amazing person. I've seen him walking around with a cane and tapping his way, and he knows how to get around town. You've seen him, right, Peter? Right? It's the guy that walks around, and he has that cane. It's an amazing thing, and there are things that people are able to do to overcome their blind, but it doesn't take away the fact they cannot see. And these are things that God uses to teach us from his word. And what happens here is also present in the story of the woman whose daughter was healed. And that is faith at hand in the people who desire for their loved ones to be healed. And so God teaches us through these stories of people who are sick and that are possessed by demons and that are unable to hear and are unable to see and cannot speak, to be able to bring about this word of faith. Where is our faith? We're always talking about, do you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God? If you do, then you will be saved. And your life will be transformed. Hallelujah. You'll be set free from your sins. And it's true. But do we think about the impact that Jesus Christ can have in society physically through his healing power? And I believe there are far too few Christians that believe that Jesus Christ can do anything. And I'm sure that every one of us in our life here today and on Zoom knows at least one person who could benefit from the healing of Jesus Christ. Where is your faith? You take someone that you know and say, here is someone that can heal you. You know, John the Baptist was a person who was known to be crazed. He was this crazy guy who ate locusts, and he came in from the desert, and he was screaming to people and saying, repent, repent. Do you understand who is coming here? Do you understand what is going on? And I really think that, brothers and sisters, we need to read that section of scripture and understand that it's not just him. We are far too polite about sharing the good news, far too polite about bringing this. Do you know what's going on? Do you know how great God is? Do you understand who he is and who Jesus was and that he's coming again? Do you understand? Repent. Hold on to your sins no more. Hold on to the things that you have grudges against people. Hold on no more to the things that are keeping you from being in a place where you are going to welcome the King who is coming. It's imminent. He's going to be here and you're going to meet him. How are you going to see him? What will he see in you? Will there be faith on earth when Jesus returns? Wake up! That's what John the Baptist was saying. Get out of yourselves. Do you understand that the creator of the universe is coming? Pardon the outburst. Right? Shake yourselves alive. Get out of yourselves. That's what John the Baptist was saying. Get out of yourselves and your laws and all the things and the prayers that you're lifting up and all these things, and get out of yourselves and prepare to meet your God. That's what these scriptures are teaching us. We who are feebly weak-kneed and shaking hands and wondering what's going to happen, get over it. Hold on to his hand. Give up your sins that are holding you down. Break free through the power of Jesus Christ. The scripture, in these two sections of scripture, are the fulfillment of a prophecy of another person who yelled out to the people around him, whoever would listen, for them to wake up. Isaiah, in chapter 35, in our call to worship today, speaks these words. Let me turn to that section again. Just give you a little reminder of what it says. He will come and save you. Remember for the children's message? And then it goes on. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf unstopped, opened. The lame man shall leap like a deer. The tongue of the mute sing for joy. Do you hear it? Do you hear the healing of Jesus fulfilling the scripture of Isaiah years before? And that's what he was anticipating. That's what Isaiah was anticipating. He was possessed with the knowledge that God was coming and he was going to do this. And this story about the woman with the daughter who was healed and this man who was deaf and couldn't speak and was healed is not only some person who was being healed in that instance. So people said, wow, look at that guy and what he can do. It was in fulfillment of the prophecy that Jesus Christ was coming into the world and he was going to do amazing things, including going to the cross and dying for all of mankind. Setting us free from bondage, setting us free from sins, setting us free so that we don't have to live our lives feeling terrible about ourselves and hiding ourselves under a rock like someone who has a demon-possessed daughter. Bring her out! Let's see her! She's been saved by Jesus. She's been healed by Jesus Christ. Do you know somebody who stays at home because they're afraid to come out? Bring her out! Bring them in here! We in our church are very, very well known for inviting Christians to events. It's time that we invite the people that don't know Christ. This room is filled with people who are here every week. What about the people in our lives that need Christ? Where is our faith? Alec Motyer was a man who wrote down some wonderful things about this section of scripture here. Let me read you a few points that he reads about for Isaiah 35. No matter what circumstances, we can confidently expect to be provided for by God. No matter what the circumstances are. This is a circumstance where a woman has a daughter who is a demon, and she's been that way for a long time, and the woman doesn't know what to do. Doesn't matter, because Jesus is here. The circumstances do not matter. We can confidently expect. Do you expect great things from God? Do you expect great things from God? I'm not talking about grades in school so that you can do well. I'm talking about life. I'm talking about things that are going to make you into a child of God that is going to bring the light of Jesus Christ into society. We're far too simple in our thinking. Jesus takes us to the next step, to the deeper place. Expect great things, not just good work. Great things. Expect great things in your life. We are overcomers. We have a God that overcame death itself. We've sang about it today. He began to breathe in that grave and up he roared. Amen? The Lord, the second point, the Lord is always present. The eye of faith sees it. I went through a time this week. I was battling through a lot of different things. I was very lonely some of the times, feeling kind of weird, to be honest. You look at the things that are happening in the world, the water coming down, the concerns like that, the COVID and all these different things coming together. It can be overwhelming, but Jesus is greater. And he's our only hope. And what a hope he is. Right? The Lord is always present. His glory is always present. We just don't see it because we're blind. And Christians can be blind. Open your eyes. Give up your addictions. Put your sin away. Follow Jesus. Be righteous in his sight. Give him your life and see what's going to happen. But the Lord is always present. He does not just show up when we think about it or we're in the right frame of mind. He shows up when you're going through weirdness. He shows up because he's present. Right? Third, the road may seem twisted and full of turns, but it is protected from that. It is protected so that no hazard can dislodge us from our way. What do you see in front of you? What does your road look like in front of you? Is it predictable? My life is not predictable. I don't know about you. I can't do anything, but God has the vision and the straightness before me. And you think that was just by accident that I was on a road and I turned a corner and I went through this water and I was starting to think, oh no, what do I do? That was God's hand teaching me a lesson about the unexpected and how fast we can lose sight of life. The road may seem twisted and full of turns, but Jesus Christ is there and making the way straight. The road may seem twisted. Each is guaranteed that the end shall come for the redeemed. The delight will be ours. That is also the promise of God. The end is guaranteed. It means that the glory of God and the promises of God are guaranteed. Do you know anything that is guaranteed in this life? There are claims for it, right? I guarantee. I'm going to give you a guarantee with this product. And then they say, but it's over in 3 years, right? It's over in 3 years. You have 4 years. That's how long I'll give you the guarantee. There isn't any other guarantee that lasts forever like God. Right? He promises us that the road may have these kind of things going on in them, but he makes the road straight for those who believe in him. So where is our faith? Where's our faith? Psalm 146 was also in our lectionary this week. If you've been reading through the lectionary, you'll see these words also tying in together. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. You hear it, people? The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. The psalmist writes about it as well. Praising God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. As long as I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Don't trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Do you belong to the mindset that you are going to be in control of your life? Then beware. When your breath departs, you return to the earth. On that day, your plans end. But blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. God calls us today to look at these words in these two stories here to learn about faith. First of all, where is our faith? He calls us to think about those people in our lives that need Jesus and we have not talked to about at all. That we think they're going to die without Jesus, but I'm okay. But these people brought their loved ones to Jesus and begged him to save them. And he did. God is also teaching us that Jesus can do anything. There's no power in a demon over Jesus. Right? And it's also teaching us that Jesus Christ was the fulfillment to Isaiah's prophecy that the Messiah would come and would die on the cross for you and me and for all people to save us from death and to give us life eternal that leads to heaven. And it's also teaching us that Jesus took pity on people who had such problems. And we as a church need to do that too. Because Jesus uses us as his body to do the work to help people who are poor, people who are possessed by demons, people whose lives are in tatters because no one knows they exist. And they can't care for themselves. Widows, orphans, the poor, people around us, and each one of us is given the lesson here that Jesus Christ cares. A few years ago, we invited Maggie Luo to hold a workshop, and there was a pretty good number of people who came out to hear about mental illness. She is an amazing Christian. She has a great story of how God brought her into working with people who have mental illness. And they have a chapter in New Jersey, which is unique. That is a Chinese chapter of the National Association for Mental Illness. And they have these sessions and meetings with parents and people who are lost in life because they have a child like this woman has in the story. And she came and she explained it to us. She also brought a psychotherapist with her to talk about these things. And the people, some of the people from our church, some people from the surrounding area came to hear what they had to say because they had loved ones who needed help. The end of this month, I will be attending a 3-day seminar to be trained as someone who can hold a meeting with parents who have children who have this kind of a problem or loved ones any age. The reason that I'm doing this is because I have two sisters who are like that. And the things that I explain to you that happen when people have that demon are things that I experienced firsthand in my life when I was growing up. And the only reason that there is any hope for our family, for my sisters, for my parents who are now in heaven, is because of Jesus Christ. Maggie Luo has a work going on in New Jersey with Chinese people, and she tells me, and I also know, not being Chinese myself, that there are many Chinese who have a stigma against people who have such problems. I can tell you very honestly that it's not just the Chinese. It's a society who desires not to hear about problems that people have, but wants only to think about themselves. And I hope that you'll pray for me as I go through that training. It's not a Christian organization, but it is one that I hope that our church will support and even have meetings in our church building so that people can come and through the grace of God, come to know Jesus Christ. This is just one area. How many people in our church, how many are in our church are deaf? We don't have a deaf sign language kind of a sermon. Maybe God is leading us there. We don't have blind people in our church. Maybe God is leading us there so that people can read the Bible in Braille and we can say, come. I don't know. It actually depends on you. Who do you know in your life? Who do you know in your life? Those are the people that we need to have coming to church. And I'm standing on the word of God here. I'm not just saying this because of what I just said about my own family situation. I'm talking about what God says here in his word. It says, God will help the blind. God will help the poor. God will help and bring justice for all people who are down and out and forgotten in society. And so that is the kingdom of God. Right? It's not made up of perfect people who have perfect health, who can come into a perfect church. It is a broken person, a broken set of people that make up the body of Christ, made well through Jesus Christ. And so we welcome them because we belong to them. And that is what God is teaching us in these two stories today. There are people around us who are suffering from floodwaters. There are people that are suffering from the COVID, which is on the rise. We have different things that are going on in this world, but confidently we can expect great things from him. Because this is where he shows himself. Do we have the faith? Do we have the courage that Isaiah is calling us to? Do not be afraid. Be strong, and God will save you. Amen.